Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, it's a huge privilege, and let me say good evening to all of you here at C3 Church. It is evening. The last words I had was with my wife is, good night, darling. And turning up here on a spring day, and then you change your clocks, and if that's not bad enough, you move them, you take an hour out of my sleep, because in a few weeks' time, we will also change our clocks, but we will go back. So I'm just in another time zone, in another space, but it's great to be here. And it's a huge privilege to have been invited, it really is, to have been invited by Pastor Chris and Phil Pringle to be with you. I so admire what you have been doing, your vision, your 2020 vision of planting these 1,000 churches all over the world. We see the C3 churches staying close to a vision. You know your why. Your pastors know their why. But they're not just content to leave it like that. What they're prepared to do is to help thousands of other people find their why. And you, of course, have enabled it. You pray for them. You pray for them and you give generously to that work. And it's wonderful to have met Pastors James and Tammy today. And we've just had great fun. I mean, the whole thing has just been a hoot. But I'm afraid you've got to listen to me, but I'm just enjoying myself. It's such fun to be here with you. It's nothing like speaking in the middle of the night. But I want to talk to you about this book I've written. It's called Know Your Why. So, you know, first words really matter. I grew up in South Africa, just a bit of background. I grew up in South Africa in a pretty nasty time of the country when racial segregation was on top of all of us. And I was very keen to see justice restored to the country. And one of my great heroes, who I've had the privilege of meeting on several occasions, was Nelson Mandela. And of course, well, he was locked up. But when he came out, we were just glued to the television. I don't know if any of you remember just what those first words would be. And the first words that he said were, I give my life to serve you, the people. Wow, and I thought, and I was crying, and it was amazing. And the first words of Jesus, recorded for us in John's Gospel, is a question. And first words matter because they set the context of the whole of Jesus' life. And those first words was this question. In John chapter 1, verse 37, what do you want? What do you want? It's the same question that he asks you and me today. What do you want? Not, I want a new car, I want a new house, I want a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, a bit of money won't do any harm. But what is it that is really part of the whole of your life that makes the difference? What is your why? What is your core story? And we're going to pray at the end of this service that if you don't know your why, we're going to pray that the Spirit of God will impart it to you today. Do we believe for that? Yes. That's what we do because we believe that God is able to answer the prayers of the faithful people, and this is according to His will, and very few things are more according to His will than that we should know our why. In our time. But you know, I want to ask you a question. The question is this. It's a question that has been asked in every generation, in every age, in every language, in every culture. It's a question that I've asked myself 1,000 times. It's a question that I know you ask yourself. And the question is this. Why do I do what I do? Why do I do what I do? What's the point of it? What's the purpose? What's the destiny? What's the reason for my doing? What's the reason for my getting up in the morning? Is it just for cash? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I've worked for cash. I've been a banker, as you would have known for heard, for 40 years. I still am working in finance. I grew up in South Africa, as I told you, came to live in London, became an investment banker for 40 years, and ever since then, I came to know Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. I know that he is the one that wants us to know our whys. And life is a stressed out place. You don't have to tell me, and I wouldn't dare telling you, what the pressure of just living life is, just the stuff of living everyday life. But if you know your why, it makes a difference. So you can work for cash, nothing wrong with that. Some work for a career, nothing wrong with that. I did as well. Some work for a great cause. Many in the voluntary sector work for it. But whether it's cash or career or cause, if you don't have a calling, you'll burn out. And burnout is the greatest disease of our generation. Wherever you are in the world, even in wonderful sunny Australia, when you can relax on beaches that are unimaginably beautiful, still people are stressed. Why is that? Well, the first thing to say is this, is that we need to believe, as I've tried in my book to show, that you know, you need to find and fulfill your calling in life. It is true that God calls us all to the great work of telling people of his good news. That's for everyone in every age and in every generation, but there is a specific calling on your life as there is on mine. But we live in a very unsettled world. The world has been described as VUCA. It is volatile, uncertain, complex, angry. You can open any newspaper, read any, see any television. Wherever I am in the world, I see this. Angry. But what the world most needs, we have. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ changes lives. He changes cities, communities, churches, and countries. And we believe that, don't we? And if you feel discouraged, remember 12 people started this whole enterprise with Jesus. And 2,000 years later, it's still going. So how are we going in this unsettled world? How are we going to live? How are we going to know our why when things are so unsettled? First thing to say, if you look in the wrong place, you won't find what you're looking for. Now, I come from South Africa, as I told you. So let me illustrate this. Photographers were going out to take a photograph of an elephant. Have a look at this picture. The elephant is behind them. What they're looking for is behind them. You will not find what you're looking for if you look in the wrong place. Just to illustrate that further, let's look at a rhino. A photographer wants to take a rhino photo. Oh, can you take that off? It's distracting. Do you see the point? If you look in, it is gone. No distractions. We need to look in the right place, and there's one place to look, and I'm going to give you four words. They're the four words with which the Old Testament opens, and they are the four words with which the New Testament opens. They're the same. They're the four words that have changed my life. They're the four words that will change your life. And you know those words. You want to say them after me? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the New Testament, it's the same way. In the beginning, the Word, God. So that if your life is looking, you're trying to find your why, you've got to find the why by looking in the right place. No number of amount of self-help books, focus groups, therapies, nothing wrong with them, but they're not going to help you know your why, because Jesus Christ is the one that is showing you your why, and the way you view God is the way that you will do life. If you view God as a generous father, your life will be a generous life. If you view God as a miserly person, you will live a miserly life. You can live either by the promises of the Word of God or by the premises of the world. Which is it going to be? And the promises of the Word of God are that you will know your why. You will find your purpose, your destiny in this world. But in order to hear God's voice, we have to do it in a noisy world. It's the stuff around us, our telephones, our iPads, our every other form of social media, the stuff around us is so noisy. That's coming over on this flight that has sort of left me in the middle of the night, still trying to work out where I am. But I was coming over, and there was the most terrible noise. You cannot imagine it. The trolleys were clashing back and forth. People were snoring. Children were crying, breaking sort of everything in the galley. And I thought, oh, this is dreadful. And then I remembered my wife had given me a present. And the present she'd given me was a pair of Bose earphones. And I put them on and I thought, oh, that's great. But the background, I could still hear all of it. And then I discovered the noise elimination button. And I clicked it. And as I clicked it, I could just hear this beautiful music and no background noise. If you want to hear God's voice in a noisy world, you have to use the noise elimination button. You have to create some peace, some quiet, some silence. You have to walk along your wonderful beaches, because you will not hear his voice if you're competing with all the noise around us. But if you forget everything I'm going to say today, at the core of this, the core story of God's message to us is this. You're loved by God, you're known by God, and you're called by God. Amen. He loves you so much that he died for you and for me, for the things that we turned our back on him, he turned his face to us. He knows you. You're not going to surprise him by telling him that you screwed up in your life or you messed up your life. He knows it. And he's called you and me. He's given us a task in this world. We're loved, we're known, and we are called. And calling is that deep inner conviction of the Holy Spirit that the whole of my life matters to God, not just what I do on a Sunday evening when I come to church and for an hour if you're an Anglican or 3 hours if you're a Pentecostal. It is not just that moment. To know your why comes well before knowing where am I going to serve God? How am I going to serve God? What am I going to do for God? How am I going to be able to do it? To know your why is the very reason for doing what you're called to do, to live well. But it's really important to remember this. When we talk about knowing our why as Christians, it is not just to do with myself. It's not just for me. It's also for others. Now, I want to give you a little illustration of this. We have a great triathlon pair of brothers. They're called the Brownlee brothers. And Ali Brownlee won the gold medal at the Olympics in Rio. And he was going, and his brother ran but didn't quite make it, and he was going for the world record and to become the world championship. In Mexico, the brothers were running, highly competitive brothers. And check this out and see what happened. There's an amazing story there. Because you know your why instinctively, but you will know your why only in and through others. So there was Ali Brownlee, the world championship ahead of him, and his brother gets wobbly with life issues when there's no oxygen in Mexico. And you know, I don't know, I would have thought, I would have been, if it happened to me, I would have put my arm around my brother and I said to him, okay mate, let me help you and I'll get you there. And if I got there to the, and I would turn to, if this was me, I would turn to him and say, Johnny mate, do you know what? It's the world champion, you understand. Don't worry, you'll get there. You're not going to win. I could win. I could get it. Just hold on, and I would push myself across the line. I'm sure you wouldn't, but that's what I would do. And what does he do? He pushes his brother ahead of him. He pushes his brother who could not win a championship. And what did Jesus Christ do for us? He put himself in front of everything he gave. He crossed the line so that we might also get there. He was the one He wanted us to know our why. We know our why in and through others. And if you know your why, you will find your way in life. If you don't know your why, everything else will be in the way. Everything else will try and persuade you not to fulfill your great calling that you have. But don't listen to me. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus in John chapter 15 says the following. You did not choose me. Maybe you thought, well, do you know what? I've come to C3 Church. I've chosen for God. I'm on the right side. No, no. You did not choose me. I, God himself, Jesus Christ, I chose you individually. I chose you. But I appointed you. It's a funny theological word. What it means is I invested in you. I invested in you. Let me give you an example. What if you were chosen, if you were happened to be chosen to play for the Wallabies? I suppose some people have to be chosen to play for the Wallabies. You could be playing for the Lions, but let's assume you were. And the guy, you're chosen, but you can't have any gym. You have no sort of dietary help. You've got no training. You've got no special training. Well, what point of being chosen then? But what Jesus says is, I've chosen you and I have invested in you. I've invested in you to be able to do that which I've called you to do. And what have I called you to do? So that you might go. What I love about this church is that you go. You go and you've planted, what, nearly 500 churches on the way to 2020 vision. You've got C3 Cares. You go out and feed people, look after people. There's no place in the Christian world where you do not go. And he says, more than that, don't to go. I've appointed you to go and bear fruit. There's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. If you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ. It's not a compulsion, it's just what happens. You bear fruit. It's a fruitful tree. And not just any old fruit. The fruit that he gives you, he says, and that is fruit that will last. Sustainable fruit. Now we know about sustainable energy, sustainable food, sustainable homes. And this is sustainable fruit, fruit that goes on and on, that is nourishing and grows and helps the people in and around us. But I believe that there is within every single one of you, every single one of us, a story longing to be told, a song waiting to be sung, an idea waiting to formulate itself, a hope waiting to be realized. That's the core story of your life. And if you grasp your core story, your why, it's the bravest thing you will ever do. So you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I've written it all in Know Your Why. I can't go through all of that, but let me just give you some headlines. You know, some people turn around and say, you know, I'm going to do it by willpower. I'm going to get there. I'm gonna get there. I'm driven. I know my direction. My identity is clear. This is me. Take it or leave it. I will shape my life. I'm master of my destiny. I'm invictus. I'm the master captain of my soul. Others will say, whatever. Yeah, whatever is gonna happen is gonna happen. I don't need a particular purpose. I'm gonna do something. And as long as I don't get in God's way, God won't get in my way. And say, okay, sirrah, sirrah, what will be. Just carry on like that. Just drift along. And some just want to be wannabes and say, yeah, you know, I'm really going to make it. I'm going to create a business. I'm going to start a business. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to make lots and loads of cash and lots of money. Just fantasizing over the things you're going to do and not doing a single thing to bring it about. Just daydream believers. These are dangerous guys. If you write your core story through your own willpower, you will burn out. As day follows night, I promise you it will burn out. We're not wired to live in a 24/7 world constantly trying to do the things that we're not called to do. And burnout and stress will continue to bedevil the whole way of your knowing your why. And if you think your core story is, yeah, whatever way the ball bounces, then you're just going to drop out. And if you think that your story is just a wannabe dreamer, just dreaming, fantasizing about what could be but isn't, you're going to fade out. But it is in worship that you will release your core story. In worship, you will co-write with God the story of your life, and nothing could be as exciting as that. Because the world will distract you, but worship will direct you. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We need to, in the Spirit of God, to help us. My workstation, where I work like you work, is my worship station. My worship station isn't just here on a Sunday. My workstation is where I am every day of the week. But we don't have the power to live this out on our own. We need the power of the Spirit of the living God. We need the Holy Spirit, which is one of the wonderful things about this church. And the Spirit of God is not just here to give you a fuzzy feeling on a Sunday night, though I'm all in favor of fuzzy feelings. You should have been at the earlier session with us. We had great fun because we were worshiping God. And we're going to do the same here. We want to dream, but dreams that are inspired by the self are just unbearable. Dream them today, they're dead on Monday. But dreams that are inspired by the Spirit are unbeatable because the Spirit of God is behind them. Isn't that true? So we need to learn to get a grip on life. Listen to what Paul says, writing in the letter to the Philippians. Paul says this in chapter 3, which will come up here. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Now, here is the real power. Let me read it again. I'm going to ask you a question. How many grips are there? He says, I press on to take hold of that for which God has already taken hold of me. How many grips? I take on to grip that for which God has already gripped me. Two. Let me illustrate it this way. You know, and those of you who play tennis or those of you who watch tennis will know how powerful a backhand is. But the backhand is powerful because there are two grips. Two hands go onto the grip to take the ball with its spin over the net. So when you think about it, it's not just that you've got a grip in your own hand. It's that God's got his grip there already before you to show you. And so we press on, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. The greatest problem about knowing your why is that you will be tripped up by your past rather than gripped by your future. And when you're tripped by your past, if someone has said, well, you're never going to make it, you couldn't do it, you don't have the education, the money, the skills to do that, and you've just taken that as a crushing experience, someone's just dumped some crap on top of you, and you've just said to yourself, well, that's the way it is. No, it isn't. Because we're gripped by the future where the Spirit of the living God is at work. But you say to me, can I get the gig? It's all great. But what happens when I lose my grip? What then? What happens when failure comes? What then? Disappointment, discouragement. Where's God then? I know what it's like. So do you. tried to form a business a year or so ago, some of the best talent in the whole of the city of London. And we thought we were invincible. And we failed in our task. It hurt like mad. It still does. But I learned a few lessons. Let me share them with you. The first is this. Never say, I am a failure. Because if you say, I am a failure, that would mean that Jesus Christ, who lives in you, has failed. And Jesus is not in the business of failing. He rose again. They thought he was dead. Of course it is true that I failed in a transaction, far too many. Of course it is true I failed in a marriage. I failed in a relationship. I failed in something that I was going to do. Of course that's true. But you are not a failure. Because Jesus Christ is alive in you, giving you life and hope for the future. And three things to remember, three simple things. First, do learn. Learn when you screw up. Learn when you get it wrong. Learn from it. Write it down so you don't do it again. Second, don't linger. If you just linger over what happened, it isn't going to change. It happened. Don't linger over it. And the third is just lean forward. Lean forward into the future. Now, I'm not giving you that as a bit of self-help theory. I'm giving that to you because the Spirit of God is with you to remind you that the future, that the hope of the future belongs to Jesus Christ. There is a tomorrow. We are growing into a better day from one degree of glory to the other. It is shattering when one has really difficult things happen in your life. You know, the Japanese have, they never throw anything away, a vase, or if a vase breaks, the Japanese will pick up all those little bits together and glue them together very meticulously. And they have they've made this into an art form, and the art form is called kintsugi. But it is a beautiful art. Let me show you an example of it. Here is a bowl. And do you notice in that bowl that there is gold in the cracks? It's not just little pretty things on the side. It's in the very crack, in the very place where it is broken, it's put the gold in there, because that is a story that is being told, that there was something that was once broken, but it is brought together, and it's the more beautiful for having the gold there. And when your life looks broken and shattered, and you feel all these pieces around you, whether it is finances or family or relationships or whatever it is the Spirit of God that doesn't just glue it together, it's the Spirit of God that gilds it together. He puts the gold into the very place of the breakage, into the very place where it's hurting, in the very place of your vulnerability, in the very place of where you feel the failure. That's the beautiful part that God gives. Because God is calling you and me not just to live our lives in some kind of break even. He wants us to break through. He wants us to break through and to know our why. To know the why, the purpose, and the reality of his life. And he wants us to be able to drive that through. When you know your why, you will be able to resist every single opposition that comes your way. I don't know anybody who's been successful in any endeavor that hasn't gone through dark nights, hard times, tough winters before the wonderful spring actually arrives. Let me illustrate that for you with another illustration. You know, in England, we can't grow fruit and vegetables as you can in the wonderful sunshine that you have. We have to have greenhouses. And those greenhouses are all over England, where we grow sort of tomatoes and fruit. And there was a family in Kent. And this family grew their flowers and other stuff in the greenhouse. And in the corner of the greenhouse, totally neglected for 40 years, sometimes it got a bit of water, but not often, but for 40 years there was an agave plant. Does anybody know what an agave plant is? Well, there are a few tequila drinkers. It's the source of tequila. And this little agave plant just lay there for 40 years. And then, in 6 weeks, this plant grew 40 feet. And it's in a greenhouse. Have a look and see what happened. Can you see that? That tree grew right through the ceiling and continued to grow. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing to us. Then, when you know your why, when you know that you're called by God, like that agave tree, you don't just suddenly find the first ceiling that you can and say, oh, well, there's a ceiling. I've now got to turn down and grow down and start twisting downwards. No, we break the ceiling. We grow through that ceiling. The Spirit of God leads us through that. There is no stopper. There is no ceiling. There is no lid that can stop the work of God in your life. That when you are with God, when He is showing you your why, you will break through, not just break even, break through to flourish and to grow. And we will do that knowing that that is what God wants to do. That was the Spirit of God. And remember this, there was a man, his name was Jesus. He died on a cross, it was over. They put him into a tomb and they sealed that tomb. And the ceiling couldn't last. It broke through as the ceiling on that greenhouse wouldn't last. He broke through in the power of his resurrection. And he will do the same for you as an individual. He will do the same for you in this church. I believe that the church here will grow by the Spirit of God and break through the ceilings of the numbers that you've set for yourself and reach the targets that God has given you to work to, because you know your why. You're working in the flow of your Spirit. You're working in the flow of your calling. You're led by godly people. You give financially to this church. You're feeding the hungry. You're looking after those that are disadvantaged and marginalized. And that is why we can break through those ceilings. That is why God will be with you. I want you to stand and just do one thing. We're gonna sing a song now. And I want you to do two things. I want you to look at that ceiling and say, do you know what? The finances that are holding me back, the lack of belief in myself that's holding me back, the relationships that's holding me back, the not knowing my why that's holding me back, the shattered life that lies broken that's holding me back, it's not there. And then I want us to clap together, because we are a church. And this church will grow because that ceiling is not, there is no ceiling, there's no hemming in of this church. The church will continue to grow because it's the will of God that you should do so. And I want us to clap, and I want us to clap together. In the Northern Hemisphere, we clap like this. You take a left hand, you take a right hand, you smack it. In the Southern Hemisphere, you take your right hand, you hit it this way, or whichever you want to do it in the time to the drum job. We have done this by faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release now the breaking of that ceiling in the lives of every single person. I just want you to identify right now, bring to God one thing that's holding you back from your why, from your purpose, holding back your Christian life. One thing, not too many, just one. Just bring it to your mind now. Now, by faith, we're gonna believe. that is broken. That ceiling is broken in the name of Jesus. The power of your Spirit, Lord, break that ceiling now. Break it in the name of Jesus. And we release life. We release the Spirit of God. We release it into you. We release it to this congregation, to this movement of C3, to this growth in the world. We release the power of the Spirit of the living God right now. Come, Lord. Before we close, I just want to speak, you know, to someone here who, when I mentioned that kintsugi bowl, you looked at your life and you just saw it as shattered. You just saw it as broken. I don't want to make light of it. It's hard. And we face the acuteness of failure, of sickness, of illness. When our lives look as though they can never be put together again. With all our heads bowed, no one is looking. It's a safe space. I just want you to raise a hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you. Just raise a hand if you feel that brokenness and you want that restoration. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just give you one moment. It's a hard thing to do, I know, but no one's looking. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak life to those who feel broken and shattered. We speak life now to their lives in the knowledge that your resurrection power is mightier than anything else. Thank you, Lord. I thank you and praise you. Thank you.
At C3, we love stories. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, email us at stories@myc3church.net. You can also download the C3 Church app to keep up to date on events, listen to our latest album, and give as part of our tithes and offerings. We hope you have been blessed by this message. Use the handle @C3 Oxford Falls to follow us on social media.